that he did not draw back, but he came for us. We're turning to Psalm 51 today. If you would please, the Psalm of David's repentance. We have been thinking especially of the servants of God, the children of God, like Peter, who thought that they would stand faithful unto death. But when the moment of trial came, Peter denied the Lord very shamefully with cursing. And then we looked at Thomas Bilney, a little man who had a big heart for serving the Lord. And yet, our brother, when he came to know that he was to die, how shocking it was to him that he denied the Lord. But later he repented and died for the Lord anyway, as Peter did. And then we looked last week at Thomas Cranmer. Cranmer was the Archbishop of Canterbury, and how subtly he was dealt with, not only by evil men, but by his own heart, as well as the evil one. And he denied the Lord, and the Lord gave him courage at the end to die for our Savior. And so we come today to another, and God willing, we remembered not only this man today, actually we learned of him in the book here, The Stories of the Covenanters. Never heard of him before. And this was originally published in 1857, I believe. And then next week, God willing, we will go to another country a little farther back in history. So today, let's consider Psalm 51. And this is, as Luther said, such a fitting psalm for us every day. Do we think that we arrive at a point, we're on a plateau, where we don't sin anymore? No. We need to repent every day. And I think Psalm 51 is always appropriate. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen. I trust that in the reading of this psalm that we will not only remember that David truly repented of his sin, but may the Lord ever give us a true sorrow for our sin, a real repentance. Whether they were Stuarts or Tudors, they were very active at murdering Christian believers. We have been considering Henry VIII and Bloody Mary, his daughter. These two members of the Tudor family killed many true Christians. The same was the experience of Scotland. Mary, Queen of Scots, Charles II, and James II were all Stuarts. S-T-U-A-R-T. And regularly killed humble Christian believers. Today we leave the Reformation in England and come to the Scottish Reformation. The Scottish Reformation was really begun in the time of George Wishart and John Knox. And these men were greatly used of the Lord in turning many in Scotland from Romanism to Christ. About 100 years after John Knox, there was a period of terrible persecution and martyrdom. From 1660 to 1688, 18,000 believers in Christ were put to death in those 28 years, much of it known as the killing time. These murders were carried out by the Stuart monarchs, the ones that they sent forth to do their bloody work. Let us visit the west of Scotland near Irvine during those days. An old castle called Craigfoot was the ancestral home of the Gimmel family. Many a hero that fought for Scotland had been reared in that castle. A baby boy was born in that castle in the year 1669. It was already the time when God's people were suffering so greatly. His name was Ralph Gimmel. A few years later, his little brother Edward was born. The mother of these only two children was a very godly woman who had for years sat under a faithful Presbyterian minister who during those 28 years was spared. He was constantly on the move in the dens and the caves of Scotland from 1660 to 1688. But she had sat under his ministry. And this lovely lady had obviously been deceived by an ungodly husband in order to get her to marry him many years earlier. But once they were married, the true differences between these two could be easily seen by all who knew them. Isabella Gimmel, that was her name. She had been a Mitchell before she married George Gimmel. Isabella Gimmel was very sympathetic to the persecuted Covenanters, as the Presbyterians were called. Her husband George was the exact opposite. He was a nominal Episcopalian who hated the despised Covenanters and helped to persecute them. The two sons were also opposites. Young Edward was his daddy's boy. He went often with George, even at times to persecute the hill folk, another name for the Presbyterians. But Ralph had always been his mother's boy. Though he was older, he loved for her to read the scriptures with him, for her to pray with him, and to teach him the things of God. George, the father, did not show any affection for Ralph once Ralph began adhering to his mother's ways, becoming so close to her. The haughty, oppressive attitude and actions of George Gimmel over the years had a very adverse effect upon his dear wife's health. Her health began to break down. And when Ralph was only 15 years old, his mother died. He had nursed his mother during her final illness, and she counseled him, especially in her last words, as she had counseled him before. She said to him to look to Christ and to follow Him because He never forsakes His believing children. Her last words. After her death, Ralph felt deeply the great loss. He would often take long walks on his family's large estate. And that estate reached all the way down to the seacoast. And one evening, as he was having his walk, thinking about his dear mother who had left him, he caught the distant sound of psalm singing. He followed the sound and found a secret worship service being conducted among the huge rocks on the coastline. Ralph had to search carefully because it had gotten dark. He had to search carefully among those large boulders to find where the people were gathered. The worshipers were surprised and at first alarmed at Ralph's approach. But some of the worshipers were tenants on the Gimmel estate, and they assured the others that Ralph was like his mother, a lover of the Bible. Ralph stayed with them, and he enjoyed the service and was glad to learn when and where their next secret worship service would be. Early on the next Sabbath morning, Ralph left the castle while the others were still asleep. He made his way to a barn 3 miles from Craigfoot. It was the same old minister that had once been Isabella's pastor. The service was nearly finished when the watchman gave the warning that a band of mounted soldiers were coming in the distance. The minister dismissed the congregation with a word of prayer quickly, sending them to their hiding places. A few folks went into the house with the farmer and his son. A large flagstone was lifted from the kitchen floor, revealing a secret room below. The old minister went down into it and asked Ralph to come in. After all, Ralph was so new among them. But Ralph said, "I'm young and strong. Let some of the older folk go in." So they did. And soon the soldiers burst into the house looking for the preacher and the owner of the farm. But unable to find them, they took Ralph and the few others prisoners. As the prisoners were being marched toward the Irvine jail, George Gimmel, who had gotten up and was about to enter the Episcopal Church for the morning lesson, spied his disgraceful son among the treasonous prisoners. He hastily gained Ralph's release after viciously scolding his son. The officer in charge said, "Wait." He demanded that Ralph must take the test. To escape imprisonment and death, Ralph had to swear allegiance to King Charles II and promise to help in finding out and destroying the Presbyterians. As Ralph took the oath, his whole body trembled as he realized that he was denying all the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God that his dear mother had taught him. From that moment, Ralph's father began being kind to him, which hadn't been the case for about 10 years. George spoke with gentleness and concern for Ralph. This hadn't happened in so long. Ralph was happy to see his father so well disposed toward him. George continued bestowing much attention on Ralph and taking him with him everywhere. They went riding, they went hunting, and even he went with his father to help capture Covenanters. Ralph even dared to call them traitors. He learned to laugh at the soldiers' dirty jokes and even to speak some vile curse words and profanities himself. And every time he did it, his conscience smote him terribly. But his father promised to him that he would have the largest part of his estate because he was the elder son. All seemed to be going well until one night, after a feast of licentious revelry and mirth in the castle, Ralph retired to his room for a good night's sleep. Right before Ralph lay down, he was suddenly alarmed by a momentary cessation of the beating of his heart. He was shocked at a feeling that he had never before experienced. He thought that he was dying. He broke out into a cold sweat. Smitten by his conscience, he remembered all of his sins of recent days, all the way back to the oath that he had made while trembling with fear. He felt like death was laying its hand on him. At the same moment, he thought God had forsaken him. Then he remembered his mother's parting words. Look to Christ and follow Him, and He will never forsake you. Instantly, Ralph fell down on his knees, pleading the blood that was shed for such sinners as himself. With tears of true repentance, he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Holy peace then entered his soul, and he knew the path of duty that was before him. He knew what he had to do. The next morning, he wrote his father a letter, thanking him for everything, but confessing that he had sinned against God and he must get back to the path of obedience so that his conscience would be clear whenever he came to die. He left that letter on the bed where he thought he would die. He left the castle that day on what seemed to all the others to be a normal walk around the estate. But he immediately returned to the Covenanters, once again finding the old minister that had ministered to his mother. He confessed his failure and assured the man of God of his repentance. They prayed together, and Ralph was again in the fellowship of the saints and allowed to join with them in the next communion service. For over a year, Ralph suffered with the saints of God, hiding in the caves and forests, begging a morsel of bread when he could, and helping the lonely shepherds on the mountains take care of their flocks of sheep. His clothes were wearing out. They were tattered, and often he was cold. But oh, how his soul was prospering as he read the Bible and heard it faithfully and powerfully preached. Ralph, during that more than a year, had many narrow escapes, but God was with him, and he was able to get away each time safely. But one midsummer afternoon, as Ralph listened to a sermon, the little congregation was suddenly surrounded by a troop of dragoons. The soldiers had the authority to shoot them all on the spot, but it was decided to take them to Edinburgh to be executed publicly to make other people afraid. This time, Ralph's father refused to help him. In fact, George Gimmel wrote a letter to Ralph in return for his letter. And here's what his father said. My door is forever closed to you. Never again say that I am your father. Let me never see your face again. Ralph was brought with the others into Edinburgh and put in a dungeon. And after a couple of days, they were brought before the judges, condemned to die in the grass market the next morning. Ralph had thought that he was dying in his castle home one night, but now he was assured that he would be dead the next morning. Well, after a good night of sleep, Ralph heard the lock on the prison door opening to take him to his death. But to his surprise, the jailer ushered into the cell Ralph's aged uncle. Young man, I've come to save your life. I have got your sentence reduced to banishment. If you will only promise full obedience to the government, you can go free. 1,000 thanks, dear uncle, but I cannot again compromise my faith with evil and break the commandments of my Savior. I've done so before, and I've caused myself great grief and shame. Well, son, you may do as you wish, but you will find slavery and banishment under the burning sun to be as bad as death. The old man turned on his heel and left the cell. After a couple of weeks, Ralph was loaded onto a cruel slave ship and taken to Jamaica. There in the burning heat, he was made to labor long hours under the raging sun. As the time passed, a year was gone, and Ralph was entering in to the second year of his serfdom. And he could tell that his European body was beginning to crumble under the awful heat of Jamaica. His only comfort in those times was that each Sunday was a full day of rest and worship. Some of the slaves got together and read the scriptures, and thus they were strengthened and sustained. One day as Ralph and the other slaves were laboring in the field, the master approached them and declared, "The year of Jubilee has come. The government of Britain has changed, and you are all free men. The king has ordered all that were banished for religion to be returned home. And I tell you that even now, ships are waiting for you at the coast to carry you back to your homeland." "Praise be to God," they all said as they embraced one another. They boarded the ships, and when they set off for Greenock, the winds were favorable. And ere long, the Scots beheld their beloved land. Several of them disembarked at the port in Irvine. And Ralph could see in the distance the old castle, Craigfoot, where he was not welcome. It was the Sabbath day, and it was the hour for worship, and Ralph noticed others walking into the parish church in Irvine. And so he went in, and he sat down. And it was the same old minister, but he was unable to stand. He was sitting and preaching from a high stool at the pulpit. After the service, the old minister recognized Ralph, and he literally fell upon his neck and kissed him. "Welcome home, my son. Your father will want to see you." "My father? He's not well, and we must go at once." They did. Although Ralph had been away for some years, The servants recognized him and shouted, "Ralph is here!" His father heard him from his room. It was beautiful summertime. And he called out, "Bring him in!" As soon as he saw Ralph, he said, "I have wronged thee, my son. I have deeply wronged thee." Embracing Ralph, he asked, "Can you forgive me? Will God forgive me for my terrible iniquities against you?" "Yes, Father, He will forgive you." At that moment, his brother Edward came in. "Here is your brother, how I've wronged him also and taught him to wrong you." "Ralph will forgive me, Father, I know. Won't you forgive me, dear brother?" As he moved toward Ralph, they embraced. And Ralph said, "Yes, you are forgiven, my brother." Mr. Gimmel sat up in bed. He said, "My earthly joy is complete to see my sons are reconciled at last. But I will soon die, and I'm a sinner unprepared to die, and I'm afraid that God has forsaken me." Ralph had the privilege of seeing both his father and his brother Edward come to Christ by faith. The prayers of godly Isabella Mitchell Gimmel were answered for her family. George died with a living faith in Christ. Edward became a Presbyterian minister. And Ralph received the elder son's inheritance and lived in godliness the rest of his days, enjoying peace and blessing in a free Scotland. You know, there are many lessons that we learn from Ralph Gimmel. First, his godly mother carefully instructed him in the Word of God and in the Gospel. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That was realized in Ralph's life and his mother. Ralph had a wicked father and a wicked brother, but he refused for so long to follow their godless example. The command of God is clear. No matter what the other members of our family are like, we have the Word of God in Exodus 23:2. "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Ralph lost his mother. How crushing it was to lose his dear mother. Even though we lose our precious loved ones, we must still go on faithfully with God. David said in the time of his repentance, 2 Samuel 12:23, "I shall not go to him. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Though we lose our precious loved ones, we must go on with God. Ralph denied Christ and the Bible because he was trusting in his own strength. He said to the others, "You get down there. I'm young and strong. I'll be okay." He trusted in his own strength. And he failed. Remember, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Ralph gave in to the false kindness of his father and to the flattery of other sinners. John tells us, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not Jesus Christ." Don't give in to the flattery. Don't give in to the kindness of others who would lead you astray from the truth of God. When Ralph really thought that he was dying, he could find no help except in the blood of Christ. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. He could find no help except in the blood. And there is no salvation apart from trusting in the blood shedding of our Lord Jesus Christ. After that, Ralph stood firm for Christ. For the remainder of his life, after he repented of denying the Lord. And isn't his life amazing that the Lord was faithful to his word, that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I say that Ralph Gimmel's life is absolutely amazing. The providence of God. Truth is stranger than fiction. That's a true life of the Gimmel family of Craigfoot, Irvine, Scotland. May the Lord bless that truth to us so that we may stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, let us pray together. O God, we thank Thee for giving a true repentance to Thy child, Ralph Gimmel, even in facing death again. Lord, we praise Thee that Thou didst grant a great deliverance for Thy people. And Lord, we pray that even at this time in America, that Thou wilt hear the cries of Thy people all around the land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.